Hallelujah. We give honor and praise to the Lord. This series has been dedicated to pastors, and we have a number of leadership team here that I'm so thankful for. And I told them this morning, I just count it an honor to serve with you. I really do. I count it an honor. And I love being a part of the J team that's here. And as a church, we get to minister to other leadership in other places, and we count that an honor. And this morning, we're thanking the Lord for Pastor Steve Cowart of Trinity Baptist Church in Lufkin, Texas. And let's give the Lord a thank you for him and for that church. Lord, we just bless him and Donna in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that church. Great favor and great grace, great peace, great healing upon that church. And all the people said, amen and amen. We love pastors, don't we? Amen. Well, I'm going to kick right off because I want to tell you, I got some great stuff I want to share with you. And it's just so good for me. I tell the Lord often, and I mentioned it to the beautiful blonde, that if it could ever be as good for other people as it is for me. Oh, my. And so I'm so excited to share with you. So listen fast this morning and help me cover as much ground as possible. When we closed last week, we were in Numbers 14, and the spies had come out of the promised land and given a report. Two came and gave a great report honoring the Lord, declaring what God had said and the fruits of the promised land, evidence and proof of the promised land. And 10 came back, and they were lying spies. They came back and gave a fearful report. And the Lord calls it an evil report, a negative, fearful report as an evil report. That ought to speak to us. But I want to tell you, after they shared, the Israelites made a choice. They used their chooser to agree with the fear report instead of the report of the Lord. And so there's always a question, and you can answer this question. You answer it every day. Whose report are you going to believe? Let's believe the report of the Lord. If you believe the report of the Lord, not only do you give allegiance to that truth in your heart, but you speak it. Remember, it's voice activated. And then there's an opportunity to walk it out. And so here we are, the Israelites just went, their emotions went raging like a runaway horse. And they had the opportunity, they used their chooser to go with camp fear instead of camp faith. And as a result, that horse, that emotional horse, took off. And instead of reining that horse in and stopping that horse, they just let her run. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it ran all night long. And so, you know, the Israelites were emotionally ruled. They fell apart like a wet paper bag when it came to crisis. And so, you know, how do you respond? When a giant shows up, or mountains show up in your life, or challenge shows up in your life, how do you respond? Well, the Israelites were emotionally ruled. I'm speaking about this, and I'm doing a series on this. I'm working on it, been working on it all year. It may be a long one. But I'm telling you, it's very, very powerful because we live in a generation that is emotionally ruled. I'm telling you, it just alarms me, frustrates me, aggravates me, because emotions are not supposed to rule your life. You're supposed to rule your emotions. You're supposed to rule your life, not emotions. And there's some wisdom, and there's a lot of wisdom scripturally. There's even some human wisdom on this, but we encourage people, don't make life-changing decisions when you're mad. How many times have we seen that happen? Don't make life-changing decisions when you're sad or when you're sick or when you're being emotionally ruled. That's not the time to make life-changing decisions. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the umpire of peace, our peace umpire, is supposed to give us direction. And so one of the ways it's obvious for you to say no is when there's a lack of peace. That's an automatic no. You don't have to understand the whole situation. You don't have to hear all of it. If there's a no in your soul from the umpire of peace, it's an automatic no. No peace, no go. All right? And so it ought to be pretty obvious with that. And when there is peace, there's a sweet knowing. Even if you don't understand all the details, you can't see into the future. If there's a sweet peace, I want to tell you, that's a witness of the Lord. And that's a sweet yes. Amen? And until you get peace, or until you recognize the lack of peace, don't make a decision. Shut everything down and seek God till you know that you know that you know. And it's amazing how much we would be protected from, and all the saints said. Let me give you a little example, because there are people that are in jail tonight because of their emotions. Today, this morning, because of their emotions. Somebody driving home on Friday night. Oh, no, I'm not talking about you, okay? I'm not talking about somebody you know. This is an example. But when you've been doing this 40-something years, you have a few of them. Somebody going home on Friday night, Friday afternoon from work, a little exchange of paint on the fenders on the way home. You know, it can happen in the concrete city anytime. And, you know, there's a kind of a rush of emotion. Mother Mary, you know what I'm talking about when there's a little fender. Oh, I'm not talking about a personal example here. I'm just saying their emotion sometimes rises up and you just get mad. And you hear the umpire whispering on the inside of you, stay in the car. Stay in the car. Stay in the car. But that emotion comes up, and you decide to use your chooser to give in to the emotion, and you get out of the car because you want to make your point known. And as you get out of the car, the flame jumps. The other person doesn't show you respect. And the next thing you know, they're a little fisticuff. You try to lay hands on them suddenly. The Bible says not to do that. And the next thing you know, the blues show up and they say, hey, little exchange here. It don't matter who started. Y'all going. They have a little saying, you can beat the ride, but you can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. And so next thing you know, you're incarcerated. You're in jail. Wait, it's Friday night. Court's not open. And so they announced to you, you get to stay with us a few days. You get to stay with us over the weekend. Now, there's some bad things happening here, because I want to tell you, you know, your wife said, bring home some milk on the way home. That milk ain't coming home, and you ain't coming home. Next thing you need to know is that, you know what, your boss has told you, don't you be late for work one more time. If you're late for work one more time, you're done here. Well, guess what? Monday comes around, and it's full moon, and the judge is fishing every full moon. Not something you planned, but it's something he planned. He's fishing on Monday morning. You cannot get out of jail fast enough to go to work. And so you've lost your job. Not only did your wife say, you better bring milk home, but she also mentioned to you, if you lose another job, you've lost me. And so, lo and behold, there you are all day Monday in jail. Can't go to court till Tuesday morning. And you've lost your job. You've lost your wife. And I want to tell you, it was all because you could not handle your emotions on Friday afternoon. How many times do you think it would cross somebody's mind? I wish I'd have stayed in the car. I wish I'd listened to the umpire deep on the inside say, stay in the car, stay in the car. But your emotions ruled. Now, I want to tell you, this is not an uncommon story. I want to tell you, it's easy for this to happen. You know, divorces have taken place because emotion ruled. And words were said. And pride comes in and says, they're going to ask for forgiveness before I ever even consider it. They're wrong. And I want to tell you, the guy sitting in jail on Tuesday morning waiting for court is saying, well, it's the police officer's fault. It's the other guy's fault that hit my fender. It's his fault because he didn't show me respect. It's not my fault it was Friday. I'm blaming the judge because he went fishing. I'm blaming the wife because she put too much pressure on me. Now, I want to tell you, I'm sharing with you that emotionally ruled people will blame everybody else in the world for their problems except for the one they see in the mirror. Okay, let me give you a little hint. Beware. People that cannot control their emotions try to control you. They try to control other people when they can't control their emotions. As a matter of fact, they try to control other people with their emotions. Boy, that's going to be a good series. But it fits right here because the whole congregation had cried out with a loud voice. Do you see this in Numbers 14:1? The whole congregation cried out with a loud voice, and they wept all night. So they grumbled and deplored their situation. I don't tell you, this is a mumbling and grumbling disease, and it's still active. It's out there, and it damages and destroys more people than any virus. Let me give a little advice here. If you're not content with the Lord, you'll be discontent with leadership. Yeah, I know I said that last week, but it needs to be repeated. They were accusing Moses and Aaron, to whom the whole congregation said, "Would that we had died in Egypt. Would that we had died in this wilderness." Really? 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 Where's God? Where's the promises of God? Where's all the goodness of God that he's been pouring into your life? Oh, it's just all out the window. I need to die. I want to tell you, if you're thinking about dying, if you're thinking about helping God out and dying early, don't do it. God's got more for you than what you're walking in. Amen. We're going to help you with it, so hang on with us. They said in verse 3, "Well, why does the Lord bring us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and little ones will be prey. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt?" I want to tell you what fear does. Fear will paint, because it shows up as worry. Worry is the worship of fear. Hey, fear will paint the worst case scenarios. That's not God. And it's not godly. It's not from God. They said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and return to Egypt." Now, this is where the manipulation, the emotions want to control other people with their emotions. They want a captain that they can control with their emotions because their emotions are saying run. It's dangerous to coast. It's dangerous to stay in neutral because you lose ground. If you don't actively submit and follow this shepherd, you'll find yourself wanting to go back to Egypt. And let me announce to you, your promises that God made for you are not back in Egypt. Jesus paid to deliver you from Egypt. The promised land is not Egypt. It's not the world. And all the saints said, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of Israelites. Now listen, when people around you are losing it emotionally, hey, all pastors listening, this is important. All parents listening, this is all employees, I'm telling you, this is for everybody. Moses and Aaron, because all the people were grumbling and moaning and listen, when the people around you are losing it emotionally, it's very, very important that you don't meet that same emotion with emotion. I've done that. Don't go there. That doesn't help. You know what it does? Add fuel to the fire. I got good news for everybody here. My wife will tell you, I walk in a lot of peace. I walk in a lot of love, joy, and peace. I have to. It's not a choice for me. I can't even step back the other direction. I usually get mad twice a year. I'm confessing to you. She'll tell you. I usually get a good mad going about twice a year. Thankfully, I recover in minutes instead of in days now. Decades ago, it took me days. Now it takes me minutes. So I'm making progress. I'm not excusing ever having a good marking off a spot and having a spell. I'm not excusing that. But I'm saying that good news for all of you that know me, good news for the church, the leadership, my family, extended family. I got mad twice early in the year this year, and so I'm done for the whole year. I'm trying to make you laugh, but I'm trying to expose some real truth. I'm telling you, this flesh is able to walk in emotion.
Bible calls it walking in the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, you're going to draw flesh. You're going to attract temptation. Okay? Hey, listen, when people are losing it around you emotionally, this is in the Bible. Hey, it's Numbers 14, verse 5. Pastors, leaders, parents, this is important. Seek God. Don't report. Don't answer. Don't respond. If you respond to people that are attacking you or losing it emotionally, you give value to where they are. Boy, that didn't go over very well, but I'm telling you it's true. You give credence to what they're saying. I'm telling you the best thing to do is what the Bible says. Don't even respond. Don't answer. Amen. Don't give them value. What do? Well, we fall on our face before God because he's our refuge. And this is what they did before all the assemblies of the Israelites. Now, I want to tell you, they probably had a lot to say, a lot they wanted to say. But I want to tell you, the important thing was that God told them, get on your face. They got on the face and they sought God. Hey, he's your place of security. Not a deacon board. Not an eldership board. Not the population of the people, not your family, not all of your likes on Book of Face. I'm telling you, your place of security and strength is the favor of God. Favor of God comes from humbling yourself before God. Humility brings grace, and all the people said. Amen. Okay, I'm going to preach on that too. Don't you know that'll be a popular series? Humility. People just don't want, but I'm telling you, that's so important. Hey, it's so important for you not to defend yourself. It's so important to let God do it. I've been criticized for not defending myself in the past because I want to tell you when you, and it's a reason the Bible says that you're not even to accuse an elder unless there's two or three witnesses because it's easy to be accused if you're in leadership. It don't matter what kind of leadership you are. It's easy to be accused. But I want to tell you something. One of the temptations in leadership is when accusations come, when rebellion comes, when resistance comes, and it does come. I don't care how good looking you are, it comes. And I want to tell you something. One of the most important things that you can do is humble yourself before God and let God be your defense. That's not popular because I want to tell you, everybody, the whole world says, fight back, throw everything you got, throw mud on them before they get mud on you. That's not Bible. If you do that, you're doing that by your own choosing, and you're operating by the way of the world, and you're going to get a way of the world results. It's true. Don't defend yourself. I got this little picture one time of, man, I don't have time to share that. But it's so good. Let me just mention something. When I was playing ball, you know, I got criticized every ball game because I never played a perfect game. Now, the people up there criticizing me, I couldn't take the time out and leave the field and go up in the stands, and I couldn't argue with the people and defend myself because I'm missing the game. Do you understand? That kind of mess is a distracting, trying to distract you from the main thing. Yeah. And so keep yourself in the game of life and focus on Jesus. Amen. And you know what? Do what God has told you to do. Amen. And humble yourself before God and before man. And I want to tell you what happens. God raises someone else up to speak in your behalf. You don't have to do it. Look what happens here. Joshua, verse 6, and Caleb. Caleb and Joshua are two of our heroes of faith. Joshua and Caleb, who were among the scouts who had searched the land, rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. In other words, it was a physical demonstration that this is life or death. And they said to all the company of the Israelites, the land through which we passed as scouts is an exceeding good land. Now, I want to tell you, they weren't arguing. They were stating truth. And when you're in a position where you have to say what God's saying and what God's doing, don't focus on your reasoning. It's not by your reasoning. It's by what God says. I want to tell you, it made a big difference in the ministry for me decades ago when I was, I went from trying to reason people to Christ to just stating the word. I want to tell you. When I just quit trying to reason and talk people into something and just stated what God said, there was a lot of difference in results. Okay, I'm just trying to show you something here. It's not by your reasoning. They stated what God had said and what the testimony was. And this is what they said. If the Lord delights in us, now this is not a question mark. I know in your English it looks like a question mark. Well, does the Lord delight in us? No, I want to tell you, this is one of those phrases that the Israelites use, that the Hebrew people still use, that is a amen statement. You know, we have statements even in church life that we know this, getting everybody to say amen. For example, God is good and all the time. Okay, this is one of those kind of statements. They knew that God delighted in them. He had proved it over and over. And so it's not a question mark. It's an affirmation. It's a recall of past testimony, a reminder of testimony. And because he hath delighted in them. Amen. And then he says, the Lord delights in us. He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. He was bragging on God. He was reminding God's promises. And I want to announce to you, because of Jesus, be assured he delights in you. Wow. He doesn't deal with us based on our sin. He deals with us based on his son. Amen. And so we're accepted. We're forgiven. We're favored. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, only do not rebel against the Lord. Now, I want to tell you what rebellion is. The root of rebellion is pride. Pride's at the root of all of it. And I want to tell you, pride is what causes you to resist the Lord. Pride in you is what causes you to turn from the Lord. Okay? Hey, I can't even go back and point to worry. You know what worry is? It's depending on yourself and not God. Worry is saying, I got to fix this. I got to do something about it. I got to make something happen. I got to keep something from happening. And so you go from depending on God, which is a great description of humility, depending on God, to go to depending on something else or someone else for your security or whatever the subject is. And I want to tell you, that's worry. And so it's very, very important that we depend on the Lord. Don't rebel against the Lord. Every little bit of resistance and rejection of Jesus that comes up in you today, you can point back to pride. Well, I'm telling you, that's going to be a great series. Okay, so catch this. Do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. I want to tell you, when you resist the Lord, fear comes. Because you're not operating in faith, you're operating in fear. Okay? And fear comes. But look what he says. He says, they, the people of the land, remember there was giants in the land, there's mountains in the land, fortified cities, they are bread for us. Now, boy, I love this. They're bread for us. Let me tell you what that is. That's just a snack. They're just a snack. You know, we love to say this. When we're encouraging people, let's believe God for big. Let's believe God for impossible. And we'll throw out this little statement and say, you know, it's just a snack for Jesus. It's just a little snack for Jesus. You know, we encourage each other with that. Well, I'm telling you, that's what he was saying. Those giants and those mountains are just a snack for us because God said. Now, look what he says. Their defense and shadow of protection is removed from over them, but the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, I want to tell you, Caleb had some insight. Actually, we see it in Scripture because when it came to Jericho and the little prostitute that was protecting the spies that they sent into the city, she confessed to the spies that went into the city, these people here in fortified cities are scared of you. Hey, I want to tell you, this is what he was describing. He had revelation. Because he believed God and trusted God, he had revelation. Number one, his God was bigger than they were. Was bigger than any giant, bigger than any mountain. But number two, he had revelation that, you know what? They have fear. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of talent you got on a team, if they come out on the field and they're afraid and they're convinced they're going to get whipped, they're whooped before the game starts. Oh, come on, you saw it with Goliath and the mighty army of Israel. They were whipped. They lost by default because they wouldn't fight because they were scared. They were convinced, okay, that the giant was greater than they were. Here comes little David. He was convinced that his God was bigger than the giant. Do you see the difference? And he had courage. Are you with me on this? Well, I'm here to tell you, hey, look, they were scared of the Israelites' God, because they had heard stories, according to the testimony, they had heard stories all the way back from Egypt, how that God defeated the greatest army in the world, the Egyptians, and set his people free. And you know what? They were scared of the Israelites' God, and the Israelites didn't have enough sense to know it because they didn't trust God. That's what I'm saying to you. Whatever giant you're facing, whatever mountain you're facing, whatever intimidation is out there, and there's a lot out there, I'm here to tell you, hey, look, they're scared. Hey, he has removed, Jesus said, removed the very power of the enemy to harm you. Now, I want to tell you, that's good news. I'm announcing to you, when you know who you are in Christ and you're walking in the peace, love, and joy, and faith of the Lord, and you walk into a marketplace, the very demons that hang out around the people that are there, they fear you coming in. You can't see them, but they're trembling. They're scared of you. They hope you keep your mouth shut. They hope you leave in a hurry. They hope you don't disturb them. Are you seeing this? Boy, this is some neat insight here. But the Lord is with them, with us, so we don't have to fear them. Hey, grasshoppers, I'm telling you, the Lord has already delivered them into your hands. They fear you. They fear your God. Don't fear the world, because they are not protected and you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And look at how the congregation repented and celebrated the Lord. Verse 10. The congregation said, stone them. Kill Joshua and Caleb with stones. Well. What do you do when there's accusations and threatenings against you and against your life? You say, well, Brother Tim, we live in the United States of America. I want to tell you what the Bible says about the United States of America. All that live godly will suffer persecution. It doesn't say everybody but those that live in the United States. All that live godly will suffer persecution. Can I just tell you where the greatest church growth is in the world right now? Is in Afghanistan. Can I tell you that there are even people that have gone back into Afghanistan on purpose to witness and to be a part of what God's doing? Can I say to you that there are absolutely believers in Afghanistan that are approaching Taliban fighters and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? And here we are, get a little upset because someone frowns at us because we mentioned something about Jesus. Come on, somebody. Here's what you do when there are threats against your life. I ought to know a little bit about this because I've had 24 of them against my life. I would love to tell you about one recent years, but I won't take time to do it. But I'm telling you, this is what you do. Like Moses, Aaron, you get on your face before God and you trust in God for your divine protection. Look what happens. They were fixing to stone him. They were fixing to kill him. Are you with me in the story? But look what happens. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting before all the Israelites. Do you know what happened? Hey, let me say it like this. God's got your back. Jesus has got your slack. Amen. Jesus is your divine protection. He's your shepherd. And part of the rule and role of a shepherd is to protect you. And Jesus protected Joshua and Caleb. God showed up in his glory. I want to tell you, his presence, his anointing, and his glory. I will tell you this story. I got time for just one. I was in a situation when I was a servant of the court, and I was in a situation where there was about 50 prisoners. Sorry, probationers. And I had all my staff out transporting to Lou Sterrett. And what happened was is that there was a couple of guys got in a fight. You know, when that happens, everybody kind of gets stirred up a little bit. They kind of get excited and stirred up. And I had to step in there. I was there by myself. And I stepped in there and told them all where to go and how to get there in a hurry to separate them. And one challenged me. And he was a couple gangsters fighting, and this gangster challenged me. And there I am by myself. And there's about 50. And I was being challenged. And he told me what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. And what I had to do was to stand up him with him and with the authority I had. Not just with my job, but with the Lord. And had to shut him down and tell him where to go. And as I'm speaking to him, I see him and the guys behind him get these big eyes. And the next thing you know, they dispersed, man. Whoa, I was ever glad. But they dispersed, and everybody went back to the room. And the next morning, I called the one that had challenged me before I got off shift. I called him in to have a little talk with him. And as I was talking with him, it was yes, sir, no, sir, no, sir, and all that. And I said, don't you ever try that again. He said, believe me, I won't. I don't think anyone else here will either. I said, well, that's great. I said, why not? He said, because we don't know who that real big police officer was behind you. He's big. Who is he? And my mind is racing because I knew I was there by myself. And it hit me. I said, I ain't going to tell you his name, but I want to tell you, he'll show up whenever I need him. You spread the word. And they did. And I want to tell you something. That's divine favor. I want to tell you all it is, because it happens in your life many times. We don't know it. God shows up. He's got your back and your slack. Let him do it. He does a better job than you could. And when you don't, he will. But if you decide you will, he won't. Which way do you want it? Numbers 14:24. Listen to what God said about Caleb. Because this is what we want heaven to say about us. Amen? But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Somebody say different spirit. Different spirit. And has followed me fully. See, this is the key to his different attitude. This is the key to his different mindset. This is the key to his different attitude. Okay, that God was honoring. That we're honoring this morning. He followed me fully. Everybody say wholeheartedness. That was a key to Caleb having a different spirit. Now, he's not the only one. We're going to cover some other heroes in the kingdom of God, because I want to tell you it's very, very exciting. But Daniel, you know, God said about Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. Hey, I want to tell you, hey, come on, we're going to talk about Elijah, we're going to talk about David, we're going to have a blast. But I want to tell you, it's not so much about these heroes, it's about these heroes' God. Amen. That's it. And that's what's exciting for me and you, because I want to tell you, we have the same God. And he loves to show himself mighty in our behalf. Somebody say amen. Amen. He says, let me tell you about this guy, Caleb. God says, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now, boy, that's very, very powerful. It says to this, whatever mountain, hey, Dad, whatever mountain you conquer, whatever giant you kill, you're paving the way for your daughters to defeat them also. You're winning the victory for their life to enjoy. Oh, man. What we accomplish here for the kingdom of God blesses thousands of generations. That's what the Bible says. And his descendants shall possess it. Now let me tell you, the rabbis, they have a way of describing Caleb. And it's chutzpah, chutzpah. And that beautiful Hebrew term in describing Caleb means this: personal confidence, courage, boldness, audacity. Son Chris told me, Dad, the way you would explain it is spizzarinkum. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, that comes from God. That is what blooms in people that have a love for God. Caleb had this. We can have this. Because this is from God. Now, I want to tell you, Caleb's name, now this is, boy, see, I love to study this stuff, but Caleb's name means dog. Now, isn't that something? Caleb's name means dog. Now, you got to remember, they came from slavery, okay? But I'm here to tell you something. He wasn't just a wimpy, tail between the legs dog that was scared of everything, even his shadow. He was like a bulldog. A pit bulldog. And I want to tell you, he had chutzpah. Man, he had spizzarinkum about him. And I want to tell you, God honored that. He had a different spirit. You know what? He had bulldog faith. And I want to tell you, he had the attitude of a champion. Somebody say amen. He was determined and he was wholehearted for God. And that's the way disciples are supposed to be. Joshua 14, 12. Are y'all listening fast? Yeah. This is what Caleb said. So now give me this hill country. Give me this mountain which the Lord spoke that day. For you heard then how the giant-like people were there and that the fortified cities were great and fortified. If the Lord be with me, somebody say amen. Amen. That's one of them amen statements. Because this is for sure, for sure, for sure, surely, surely, the Lord is with me. I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Because what the Lord said, not how big or how many the giants are, not how many fortified cities. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, this world needs a declaration of faith in your life. Caleb was a hero of the kingdom. He was a champion for God. He stood in front of a mountain that everyone said was impossible to conquer. And with holy boldness and confidence in God's faith, he decreed, listen, he spoke it. You got to say it. He spoke it. Give me this mountain. God promised me my mountain. With God, we're giant killers. I'll drive them out because the Lord has spoken. And you know what Caleb did? He conquered. And the Lord has promised that with him, you're an overcomer. Come on now. You got to see yourself here. May the Holy Spirit give you this perspective vision from God, this hope from God. You're an overcomer. You're a more than conqueror. The Lord praised Caleb for having a different spirit. You know what it was? Wholeheartedness. And that's something that every believer, it doesn't matter how big your brain is or your bank account or your skills, this is something every believer can give God, is wholeheartedness. It takes humility to do it. Only pride will keep you from it. Others around him, the congregation of Israel, were constantly rehearsing fear. Remember, they did it all night long. Negativity, unbelief. Hey, we've been called out and set apart from the world as a disciple, not just a convert. We're to be wholehearted follower with a different spirit, having holy boldness and faith in the face of giants. Now, I know giants have different names in our generation. But the answer is still the same, amen? You put Jesus in the center. He's the only one that has answers that can steady your heart. He's the only one that can sharpen your vision and give you revelation for the day. He's the only one that with his hope will ignite your faith because it's his faith in you to conquer any mountain that comes from Jesus. I know you may seem surrounded with these overwhelming challenges. I understand. I'm not saying they're not real. I'm not saying they're not in the world. I'm not saying that you don't see them. But, you know, they're a real anxious atmosphere. You may be facing a critical viewpoint. Woo! Please tell me I'm not the only one. Okay? But faith is present. Faith's present. The Holy Spirit is present. The Bible says he's a very present help, and he's a very present help in your faith. He's a very present help in your courage. He's a very present help to give you wisdom. Faith confronts fear. Hopelessness faints in the hope of the Lord. Faith resists unbelief and speaks out his promises. Faith resides in his presence. It's activated. I know there's a I try to call it an invisible line because you can't really see. It's an invisible line between barely surviving and actually thriving. It's a line you can't see. But I want to tell you, Jesus is your shepherd. And I want to tell you what your shepherd wants to do and knows how to do with your life. He knows he's your GPS, his God positioning system. He will lead you from barely thriving to actually, barely surviving to actually thriving. He's the one that does that. Yeah. We follow our shepherd. I want to tell you, Caleb was 85 years old. When Israel returned to the promised land and he declared, "Give me my mountain," he was 85 years old. Now, I want to tell you, God promised him 40, 45 years earlier that he would claim and conquer this mountain. I want to tell you what he didn't let his age hinder him. Man, I'm speaking to some people. He didn't let his age hinder him. Now, I'm all about handing the torch off, handing the ball off to younger generation. We're doing that here at the church. I'm committed my life to doing that. Okay, so that's important to do. But I want to tell you, do not limit God by your age. For you to do that is anti-God and anti-Bible. You need to go back and see Abraham a little bit, what he believed for in his too old age. And if you think that's the whole story, you ought to read a little bit further. I don't have time to preach on Abraham this morning, but I want to tell you, he was so blessed. I can't even describe it to you right now. But I want to tell you, he didn't let age hinder him. Caleb didn't let age hinder him. You know, we like to talk about Daniel in the lion's den. From my estimation, he was 80 years old when he was thrown in the lion's den. He had served four nation kings. And he was an old man when he was thrown in there. But I want to tell you, that didn't hinder his faith. It didn't hinder his victory. It didn't hinder him overcoming. If God can protect him from the lions at 80-something years of age, he can protect you. So what's your mountain? It may be debt. Well, I'm telling you, that's a real deal. Maybe debt. It may be hurt. It may be an achy, breaky heart from a failed relationship. It may be abuse. I want to tell you, I'm not discounting abuse. I'm not belittling misuse of people. That can be a lifetime recovery. But I want to tell you, there's a lot today, a lot of people are being overpowered by negative thoughts and anxieties. That's a real giant. It may feel like it. You're barely surviving and that you're going to go under any day. Heard me say that the good promises from a great father are for you. They're for you. And they are. He wants you to thrive, not just survive. What God did in and through Caleb, he can do in and through you. And so I'm telling you, get your hope on the Lord. Get ready to rumble. Because we win or lose by the way we choose. If we don't quit, we win. The battle's not over until we win. You say, Brother Tim, you say those kind of little sayings and they're just preacher. No, no, no. They're out of my life. And they're out of the Word of God. Daniel 11:32. Boy, this ought to be. Oh, man, I just love this verse. Look at this, the latter part of Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for God. That's why I'm telling you, we're going to study these heroes, but and I want you to be encouraged, but I'm advising you, it's less about the heroes and more about the God they knew. How well do you know your God? Our shepherd, Jesus, our champion, he says he will always lead us into triumph. That's 2 Corinthians 2:14. Jesus is the game changer. He is the giant slayer. Jesus is the faith in us. Jesus is the promise keeper. And Caleb knew deep down, and he said it, he confessed it, if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Well, we ought to jump all over that. That's Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe? If God is on our side. And so he's on your side. The real question is, whose side are you on? Come on. Man, it makes me want to say with Jesus, we can't lose for winning. Joshua 14:12, this is out of Young's, and Young's is, boy, he was such a great, scholar, but I want you to listen the way he translates this. He tries to do it in exact wording. And now give to me this hill country of which Jehovah spake in that day. For thou didst hear in that day, for the giants are there, and cities great fenced. If so be Jehovah is with me, then I have deep dispossessed them as Jehovah has spoken. Now, what I love about Young is that he puts it in the very exact tense. And when you read this, what Caleb said, when you read this in the exact tense, it goes like this: because Jehovah is with me, I have, do you hear past tense? Before he attacked, he announced and confessed, because God's with me, because he has spoken, I have dispossessed them. Wow. He wasn't waiting for the victory to declare the victory. He wasn't waiting for the victory to give praise. Somebody say amen to this. Man, this is Texas terminology of Jehovah is with me. It means this: since the Lord is with me, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Caleb was completely convinced that the Lord was on his side. That's where we miss. The promise keeper has promised the Lord would personally help claim and conquer that mountain and the giants and the fortified cities, because the Lord had a plan for victory, not defeat. The Lord had his back and his slack. I want to tell you, God's got this. This is what happens when people say yes to God and they step out in faith. God gives them a holy backbone that's unstoppable. That's a different spirit. Psalm 18:29. Can you stay with me a couple minutes? Psalm 18:29. For by you, oh, I love this. For by you I can run through a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Well, that sounds like Caleb's testimony. Let's let that be our testimony. This is what Caleb did. This is what the Lord wants to do in you, in your family, in your church. 85 years old, Caleb ran against troops of warrior giants. Man, that would make a good movie. Somebody make that a movie. And he took them down. Hey, listen to me. He overcame the impossible. The impossible stronghold cities that the world said was a no, no way, impossible. God loves the word impossible. With God, all things are possible. He overcame those. He said yes to God's yes. He did not use age as an excuse. Amen. Amen. Paul told Timothy, don't let your youth age be an excuse. Yes. Age is not the problem. Yeah. Submitted hearts are the answer. Yes. Caleb's God is your God, and he's with you. Amen. I want to tell you what he loves to do. He loves to do this. We see this in Isaiah 40. But he loves to give supernatural strength to those who are weak. He loves to give confident faith for the battles of this life. You're not alone. He's loyal to you. He's dependable. Jesus is promise-keeping. He's available for those hearts who are turned toward and surrender to him. You're not facing today alone. Listen to me. And you're not facing tomorrow alone. I'm telling you, Jeremiah 30:19 has your name on it. Listen to this expression of victory. Out of them, and I want to say out of this land right here that I'm touching, out of your life, out of your family and out of your church, its city and palace, will come songs of thanksgiving. Isn't that a great report? Amen. It's in your future. Songs of thanksgiving in the voices of those who make merry, and I will multiply them. Boy, I'm telling you, every pastor, we need to put this up on the wall somewhere. And I will multiply them, says the Lord, and they will not be few. I will also glorify them, and they will not be small. Wow. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. I'd love to go to Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, I know the thoughts. Just this one. I've got more there, but I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare. Hey, you know what that is? That's prosperity. That's success. And peace. Come on. Can he give peace in the middle of a storm? In the middle of a battle? In the middle of facing your mountain? When a giant's been intimidating, can he give you peace? His plans are not evil, but to give you hope in your final outcome. Wow, I just love that, don't you? Don't you love the Lord? Yes. Romans 8:37, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. Ooh, yeah. and we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. This is true for you. In whatever circumstance you face, he's right there with you. He will keep his word. His faith in you will cause you to thrive. His hope will rise up in you as you proclaim and declare and decree, give me my mountain. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We release the ministry of your hope, Lord, to just burst forth in the hearts and lives of every believer listening today. Lord, thank you that you're not finished with us, but you want to finish your work in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as long as we're here, there's mountains that you want us to conquer. There's giants that you want us to kill. Lord, for your honor and glory, thank you, Lord, that you will work it out for our good and your glory. And Lord, we can stand back and declare that it wasn't us, it was you. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to give us that champion spirit. And I just bless the believers with that champion spirit to rise up in the name of Jesus and show forth your glory on the earth in these last days. And all the people said, amen. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I had so much fun. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, saints, I want to give you something that they haven't heard, and they probably will, but this is it. A lot of people see their mountain or see a giant, and they view it completely. They just see enemy. But this is a secret here that I want to tell you that we may share with them later. But it goes like this, is that you cannot focus on the mountain alone or on the giant alone. You got to look higher and esteem the Lord. When you esteem the Lord, you disesteem the mountain and the giant. But let me announce to you, everybody wants to describe their mountain as their biggest problem or their giant as their biggest problem. I want to say something to you and let this be revelation to you. Your destiny is on the other side of that giant. Your destiny that God wants to do in your life is on the other side of that mountain. We must, for his honor and glory, and to fulfill our destiny on this earth, we must face the mountain. We must depend on God and conquer the giants. I want to tell you, we need to look past the giant in the mountain and see our harvest. See the blessing to the body of Christ overall. See the heritage that we're leaving others. And so I want to tell you, when a giant shows up, when a mountain shows up in your journey, and they do, don't they? Hey, been there. It ain't over yet, is it? But I'm telling you, when they show up, you know what you need to say? That's just a snack. That's just a snack. That's just a snack, man. God's got destiny for me on the other side. And I want to tell you, he's worth it. He says we're worth it. The Bible says everybody else is worth it. But we have a dynamic part of multiplying the kingdom of God. And as we sow our life into a commitment of victory, it doesn't mean that we don't lose sometimes. But I want to tell you, you know as well as I do, you can lose the first quarter and still win the game. You can lose the first half and still win the game. You may feel like you've lost three quarters. The game's not over. Hey, I want to tell you, I very well may be on my last lap around the track. But I want to go out a champion. What about you? I think you do. Because I thank the Lord, you wouldn't be here without it. You would be somewhere else getting a prettier, better, shorter sermon with a lot more entertainment.
Because I want to tell you that's out there. And I'm not throwing stones at them. I'm just saying the folk that tend to show up here are those who want to be wholehearted. You kind of spoil me in that. Thank you. All right. I love you. Well, let's do Pastor. Good, good. Yeah, yeah. Write that down, baby. I might make the sermon. If I preach it before you do, don't get offended. Amen. That's good, bro. Thank you. We love them, don't we? Well, let's get our elements together. If you don't have elements, raise your hand. Elements are coming your way.